The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
And in Aviva Stadium, it's certainly very summery this morning. But this time of year means holiday plans, and prepping for many can mean getting your body beach ready, which will consist of tortuous workouts and restrictive diets, hardly the recipe for an enjoyable break. Well, I'm joined by Dee Murphy, fitness coach and personal trainer. Dee, good morning.
Hello, how are you?
Now, you've a very, very big following on social media, and you promise to get results without the BS. Explain.
Yeah, that's my tagline. I think there is so much misconceptions out there in terms of getting healthy, getting fitter. And I think particularly a lot of women feel like they need to go to extremes to lose weight. They need to cut out carbs. They need to eat really low calorie diets. They need to train extremely heavy. And I suppose I am just of the belief that it's all about sustainable habits that you build and that you stick with. And it's all about balance. I'm very much, I suppose, I like to think that I kind of highlight that myself, and I very much believe that, you know.
Do you think women particularly are very hard on themselves?
They are,
about,
yeah.
Body shape, body size, and so on, because
yes,
the chasing perfection is hopeless.
It is.
You'll
hopeless,
always find
yeah.
something wrong with yourself.
That's so true, and I feel particularly like postpartum, it can be hard, because obviously your body shape has changed a lot and you still will want to compare yourself to, you know, pre-kids. And I think it's all about like embracing your current body, learning to love it, but knowing that you can make it stronger and fitter. And these are the things I think that as we get older, we should be kind of focusing on. Obviously, we exercise to look good and feel good, but it is really about like long-term longevity, you know, being able to be fit and healthy when we're older, playing with our grandkids, being able to, you know, do everyday tasks that aren't that challenging because we've remained active.
So what's your secret?
My secret? Well, I live an active life. To be honest with you, I think probably the most underrated form of exercise is walking, because everyone can do it. It is not only beneficial for your body, but it's beneficial for your mind. And I definitely find that walking is probably one of the simplest things that we can do and the simplest forms of exercise that can really benefit us. Yeah.
Now, you have to deprogram some of your clients. They come in with these mad ideas and you have to tell them, stop.
Yes, exactly. Like, because as I said, you know, the common, I suppose, lengths that women will go to would be cutting out carbs. That's the first thing. You know, I can't eat bread, have to cut it out completely, can't have it. But in reality, you know, carbohydrates are our main source of energy. If we don't have carbohydrates in our diet, we don't have energy. If we don't have energy, we're not going to have energy to train, you know. And I think it's about having that balance. Like, you know, we can't cut out carbs out of our diet completely. It's just not sustainable long term. And people may do it for some time, and I've seen this firsthand. They'll cut carbs out of their diet, they'll drop weight quite quickly, and then they'll go back and eat carbs again and the weight piles back on. Whereas it's not about, you know, it's not thinking about what you need to remove from your diet, but thinking about what you can include and what you can add in.
You think looking at labels, reading them intelligently is important?
It is important. I think there can be a lot of scaremongering around label reading, and I think we can become obsessed with it. But I think one of the main things when we're reading labels is if there's few ingredients on it, we can rest assured that it's probably good for us. Obviously, the more ingredients that are on that label list, yeah, the more processed it is. So it's about, I suppose, just taking an educational judgment and looking at the label and knowing whether or not it's going to be nutritious or not. I think we can tell by looking at it.
I mean, if you buy milk in a carton,
yeah,
it just says milk.
Exactly.
Some of them have added vitamins, but
yeah,
by and large, milk is milk.
Exactly.
That's a classic example.
So the fewer ingredients in the back of your label, the better it's going to be for you.
Now, the importance of building muscle.
Yes.
For whom and how?
Yes. Okay. Well, particularly women, I find. Well, in saying that, I've been a PT for 10 years now, so I really feel that there has been a surge of women getting into the gym, lifting weights, embracing strength, and instead of chasing, you know, scales weight, they're chasing weights in the gym, which is fantastic to see, because as we get older, like, women will lose more muscle mass than men. And obviously, to combat this, you know, resistance training, a diet that's rich in protein are things that women can do to obviously help to combat this. But resistance training, you know, is one of those things that everyone should be doing, regardless of whether you're a woman or a man. Like, it's something, as I mentioned earlier, that's going to, improve your longevity. It's going to improve.
You're not looking for someone who's going to win the Miss Muscles competition.
Exactly. No.
Because those bodies, be they male or female, can be grotesque.
Well, yeah, look, each to their own, I suppose, when it comes to bodybuilding competitions. But I am very much of, you know, getting into the gym, you know, simple workouts, get in, get out, and, you know, feel the benefit of it.
Now, another reason you're with us this morning from Kilkenny, you came overnight, is to talk about Alzheimer's, because your family was touched by Alzheimer's.
Yes. My dad, unfortunately, passed 2 years ago. He had early onset Alzheimer's. He was diagnosed in 2013, quite young. He was in his late 50s at the time. So, yeah, it's been, you know, it was a very, I suppose, tough journey for our family to navigate that through, because Alzheimer's, unfortunately, as it's known as the long goodbye, you are saying goodbye to that person for a long period of time. And, like the Alzheimer's Society for us and our family were like one of the biggest lifelines that we had in terms of my dad, I suppose, retaining his dignity, his identity. We utilised the daycare centre in Kilkenny, who I cannot speak highly of. And again, it was just giving my mum a little bit of respite and giving my dad, you know, time to do the activities that I enjoyed while retaining pieces of him.
And as you say, you lose the person a bit at a time. But there are some things that sometimes remain longer than others. And in your dad's case, music.
Yes, my dad was a fantastic singer and was in a band for years, and it's something that, like, I obviously I love to sing as well, but it's one of the things I think that we managed to keep for a long time was the bond of music. So even though my dad mightn't have been able to communicate to me, or he mightn't have known who I was, if I played Elvis Presley on Spotify, the spark in his eye would be there. You know, you'd know that you were getting a reaction, and we used to, like, you know, sing together. And it was nice to be able to have that connection, even though obviously his memory was worsening. It was
extraordinary that music is in that part of the brain that is retained longer.
Absolutely.
I don't know whether you saw the documentaries about the late Glenn Campbell.
No, I didn't actually.
Well worth watching.
Yeah.
That his ability to, and he was a brilliant guitarist as well as a great vocalist, his ability to pick the guitar, even when he had lost much of his cognitive reasoning and so on, was amazing.
Yeah, it was. It was lovely, as I said, just to have that, still have that connection there. Music is, you know, it's powerful. And it really helped us to, you know, connect with each other.
Now, you're an ambassador for the Alzheimer's Society, and you will be involved in the walk.
I will. This is my third year involved with the Alzheimer's Memory Walk, and it's excellent to see that it's getting bigger and better every year. You can register for the walk at memorywalk.ie. There will be more locations added closer to the time. Every participant gets a T-shirt. It's an absolutely lovely event. My kids have come with me now the last couple of years. And again, it's just about remembering those that have passed, remembering those that are still here, and just coming together and just having a gorgeous day. And hopefully we'll have nice weather this year.
Hopefully
we'll
have a day like today.
Yeah, the last 2 years has been a little bit dodgy. So we're hoping for sunshine this year.
So again, the registration at alzheimer.ie or at memorywalk.
Memorywalk.ie, yeah. And you can, there's obviously adult sign up, child sign up, and every participant gets a T-shirt.
Now, I want to ask you a few quick questions, given your professional expertise.
Mm-hmm.
I lost approximately 14 kilograms 4 years ago, but since then I put back on half the weight, but I've also become fully menopausal. I was maintaining weight until menopause. Mm-hmm. Is that a factor? Does that cause
menopause? Yeah, like the thing, I suppose, with when you're in menopause, women, I suppose, have to be a little bit more particular about the foods that they're eating. And, you know, I suppose limiting the amount of processed foods is one thing that obviously we can do. Reducing the amount of alcohol, resistance training will be your absolute best friend when you're menopausal. Because again, we can tend to, as I said, lose muscle mass, or our bone density can decrease. So these are three kind of things that we really kind of should be focusing in on, like a high protein diet, and just reducing the amount of processed food, reducing the alcohol.
Now, people are different. This one from Aideen. My experience of carbs is that they take me personally more energy to process than they give me. I call it a carb crash and that I have when I eat them. I don't want to cut them out entirely, so I try to leave most of them to the evening or the weekend when I can afford to have a nap. That's extraordinary.
Yeah, like I suppose everybody metabolizes food differently and everyone reacts to food differently. And I think it's about finding what works for you. So if this lady finds that she enjoys to have her carbs later on in the day, then that's completely okay. But it's, I suppose, being in tune with your body.
We all know that if you have a big feed in the middle of the day,
of course,
you fall asleep.
You're going to be wrecked, tired. Yeah. Yeah. So I suppose it's just about finding that balance and finding what works for you.
A final question. What about intermittent fasting? I know some people it's worked for, but I've also seen people starve themselves.
Yes. So intermittent fasting, there's no great, I suppose, benefit of it as such. Intermittent fasting is, obviously, you eat at a later time. You start your meals and your first meal at a later time in the day. But essentially, regardless of whether you eat at 8 o'clock in the morning or 12 o'clock in the day, you still need to be in a calorie deficit to lose weight. Yeah. So it's essentially, you know, whether or not you're in a calorie deficit is going to dictate whether
you
lose weight or not.
There's no point in giving up the calories for a day and then having fast food,
exactly,
breakfast, lunch and dinner,
exactly,
the next day.
Yeah.
All right. Dee, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank
really
you so much
appreciate
for having
your
me.
Journey from Kilkenny. That's Dee Murphy, who is a fitness coach and personal trainer. Dee, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.